tray, Dunkin' Donk. All I need is some vodka, some chunky conk, and watch the chico get Dunkin' Conk. Baby, if you're ready for things to get heavy, I get on the floor and act a fool if you let me. Lally, don't believe me, just bet me. My name ain't Keith, but I see the way you sweat me. L.A., Miami, New York, say no more, get on the floor.
Radio live from Ybor City, the official radio show of or station of Hillsborough Community College. For the first time in a month.
Actually, it's been a whole month. That was I didn't realize until I got here this morning, and I actually looked at the paper and I was like, oh wow, I actually wrote this down a month ago.
Yeah,
that is scary.
I'm here with my co-hosts.
Not as scary as a skeleton that is accompanying us in the studio for this spooky Halloween.
I know.
It's like literally scared. How do you feel scared of that?
Well, it's got
he feels unnerved.
Bones, made of bones.
That's
but
pretty.
What's even scarier than that is the hurricane that wiped us out for a month.
That's old-fashioned, Tim. That's old-fashioned.
What do you mean old-fashioned?
It is old-fashioned.
That's 2 weeks ago.
Well, let's get on topic. Today we're talking about Ireland.
We are.
And I don't remember if we announced that or not a month ago.
I think we
pre-hurricane.
I think we did, and then the luck wasn't in our side.
Yeah, we mentioned we're going to Ireland, but that's why we've been out for a while.
Yeah, it did feel a little cursed, but I feel like it is.
It's cursed.
Well.
It's perfect because it's Halloween, and everybody knows that Ireland is the birth giver.
The Halloween country.
Country.
And if you don't know, now you know it.
Now you know.
We'll
you actually learned something from our show.
Exactly.
Factoids about that.
All right, well, we're going to get into that. We're going to be talking about Tim's favorite movie of all time. We're going to be talking about
Season of the Witch.
My favorite movie of all time.
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Okay, you have time to argue about that later.
And we're going to be talking about everything Ireland. So we're excited to get into that. But first, we are going to start with a song. Annie, this is your song. You want to introduce it?
This is Burning Down by Alex Warren. It's his newest song.
Eventually. We got it. We were a little off the clock today, but we'll get there.
It's a curse.
I guess you never know someone you think you know. Can't see the knife when you're too close, too close. It scars forever when someone you called a friend shows you the truth can be so cold, so cold. I wipe the dirt off your name with the shirt off my back. I thought that you'd do the same, but you didn't do that. Yeah. Said I'm the one who's wanted for all the
alibi you had, you had, you had every chance to make amends that you got drunk on bitterness. Fires you started, you knew the house was burning down.
Welcome back, guys. You're listening to Jet Set on Hawk Radio, the official radio station of Hillsborough Community College, live from Ybor City.
On a very spooky
On
Halloween
a very
episode.
Spooky
But the somewhat, scariest yeah. country in the world.
This is true. This is what
Ireland.
Everyone has been saying.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
Way too many grassy hills over there to not make up a freaky holiday.
Well, before we get into the freaky deaky, we are going to be talking about some of Ireland's history, courtesy of our co-host Annie.
I hope
Annie,
it's really happy and joyous.
I'm sure.
I'm in the mood to smile.
The Irish
smile,
are typically they have a great history with nothing bad ever happening.
I want a big ear to ear grin on my face.
It's kind of depressing. It's about the Irish potato famine.
That's good.
Took place in the 1840s, specifically 1845, is when the crops all started to die as a result of infection. And then the Irish leaders in Dublin petitioned Queen Victoria in Parliament to act, which they did at first, but then they repealed the so-called corn laws and the tariffs on grain, which made foods such as corn and bread prohibitively expensive. These charges failed to offset the growing potato blight, with many farmers unable to procure sufficient food for their own consumption, and the cost of supplies rising, thousands of farmers just died from starvation, and then hundreds of thousands of people died from disease caused by malnutrition.
So, the British basically just.
And Tim, I feel like you were very eager to talk about this as a history major, because I know I am as a history buff.
Yeah. We briefly went over this last week in our alien show that only aliens can understand. But yeah, the British just basically ruined a bunch of people's lives because they hate the Irish a bunch.
Yeah, what's even worse is historians have concluded that Ireland continued to export large quantities of food to Great Britain during the Blight.
So they just profited off.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's something that people have called for reparations for a while now, but it's something that
stories.
It's yeah. the Irish are culturally very anti-Britain, and a big part of that. Yeah, a big part of that is because Britain still holds. I mean, the entire country name is Great Britain and the Republic of Northern or the Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and that's because Northern Ireland is under British control, even now in 2024. So if you didn't know that. If you ever go to North Ireland, you're actually in Great Britain's territory. You're not in the Republic of Ireland.
What is it in North Ireland?
I think Belfast's in North Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. That might be one of the major cities. But cities like, you know, like Dublin and Kilkenny are part of the Republic of Ireland. Mm-hmm. But I want to see all, I really want to go to Ireland to see all of it because it is a really beautiful country. I'm Irish myself. I have Irish heritage, and hopefully, maybe one day I can move there.
Hopefully, no British people are hearing that.
Hopefully, sorry to our our huge chunk of British viewers that we definitely have. Well, were there any good things that happened in Irish history ever?
I did not find any. I did this a month ago, so yeah, I didn't even like the
Maybe before the Romans, you know, that's when they were last happy.
Well, we're going to get into some of that in my segment on the way, 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 way older. You know, I mean, like, if you do look at it from my own studies, I mean, they were invaded by Vikings, you know, and then they were invaded by the British. And
the Catholics.
And the Catholics, yeah. There was a lot going on with them. Hopefully now things are a little bit better there.
Any Irish people listening, please send us a little message saying, we're doing fine, smiley face.
You can call in. I don't remember the number, but if you're here actually listening. Anyways, we're going to go into our next song provided by our co-host, Tim. Tim, you want to introduce it?
This is Return to the Living by Blitzkid. A little bit of a spooky song for this spooky day.
For the spookiest of Halloweens. You're listening to Jet Set on Hawk Radio, the official radio station of Hillsborough Community College, live from Ybor City, and we're back talking about Ireland. And thank you for that very, very spooky song. I was pretty scared the entire time.
I was shaking the whole time. Yeah. My teeth were chattering. I'm glad the microphone is off so it didn't pick up.
Especially with this skeleton behind.
Giving me the creeps.
Time. We're back talking about Ireland. Tim, you are going to be talking about the spookiest of movies
for
Halloween.
Today. This movie is Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, the third one specifically. And I've told two of my co-hosts here today what this movie is about. But Megan, you're familiar with the Halloween franchise of movies, correct?
Of course, yeah.
You know Michael Myers is, right?
Yeah.
Stabs people in Halloween 1.
I saw his mask at a Spirit yesterday.
Halloween 2, he comes back and he stabs more people. So what do you think Halloween 3 is about?
The spirit of trick-or-treating?
Kind of.
Oh.
Because Halloween 3 is about an Irish warlock who founds a novelty gag company, and he creates magical Halloween masks.
A warlock, like a wizard?
Like a wizard.
Wow.
He creates evil Halloween masks that shoot lasers into kids' brains and turns their heads into bugs.
That's beautiful.
And he does this because he stole Stonehenge. He stole a piece of stone, like a big whole chunk of Stonehenge, and brought it to his company, and now he's got his evil robots taking chips out of Stonehenge and putting it into the microchips and the masks.
That's
the plot of Halloween 3.
So I had this question. How does that relate to the other prequels of Halloween?
It doesn't. Michael Myers is nowhere in this movie.
So Michael Myers isn't
he's
there.
Not
it's
in this film.
Two films of stabbing, and then they...
Then they go to Irish Wizards.
It sounds like, and I don't want this to come off in a bad way, but it sounds like a Disney Channel special. Like, that sounds like oh, they have an
kind
evil...
Kind of, until you watch the film, and there's, like, a robot's, like, pull, like, they rip someone's nose out, and they crush someone's head, and kids' heads turn into bugs. It's a really violent movie. It's an incredibly silly plot, but it's really violent.
Did they film any of this in Ireland?
No. The film takes place in California.
Just an Irish guy.
But it does, the main villain, Conal Cochran, is played by an actual Irish person, which you can tell by his last name, because his name is Dan O'Herlihy. Very Irish sounding. But yeah, that's Halloween 3, and I got that whole spiel from the movie itself. But the reason why I'm talking about this for Ireland is because obviously the Irish invented Halloween. And the whole villain's motivation is the reason why he's killing all these kids for Halloween is because he's like, I want to go back to the roots of the actual holiday of Halloween, Samhain or Samhain, as you were. Megan was giving me crap earlier thinking I wouldn't know how to pronounce Samhain, but I do. It's pronounced Samhain in the Celtic. And actually, they do say it correctly in the movie as well, so props to them.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to bring Halloween back to its, you know, spookier roots of, you know, because if we're all aware, the actual origin of Halloween is that it's the day between the barrier and of the living and the dead is at its thinnest. So spirits can walk walk the realm of Earth and spook us and scare us. And that's why we wear costumes, so they don't recognize us and they don't trick us or treat us.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And yeah, so that's like, there's a lot of interesting stuff about Halloween. I'm kind of merging my segment into two segments here.
That's kind of what I did.
I think it's interesting, though, because it is related to Halloween 3. It started like 4,000 years ago. They've been doing this for a very long time. But it didn't really come to America until the late 1800s, relating to Annie's little history lesson for us, because it's the Irish potato famine brought a whole bunch of Irish immigrants into America, and with us they brought Halloween. And the very first time... kids were like recorded trick-or-treating was in 1911, actually in Canada.
Oh, wow.
1911, wow.
Yeah.
That's actually...
And that's from history.com, by the way.
That's simultaneously, I feel like, not that old and pretty old, because it's been only about a century since people actually started trick-or-treating in North America. That's actually pretty interesting.
And it didn't even get any bigger until the 50s with a little thing called commercialism.
Yeah,
because that's when they started making mass-produced costumes, and that's when kids would just go out, because they didn't have to make their own anymore. It was much easier to go out and participate in the events, and that's when Halloween really got big, starting in the 50s and 60s and 70s. And that's also relating to Halloween 3, because, you know, the evil villain is a guy who creates
Because, you
Halloween
know, the movie's
masks.
Called Halloween.
Yeah.
Ironic.
Let's see. Oh, and... sorry, I'm getting lost here.
He has to think really hard about his
My
next
brain.
Move.
It's been a while, guys. We've been out of the cushion.
Yeah, we
for
have
a while.
Been out of it.
Oh, well, this was an interesting thing I got from history.com. So one of the early, like, actual Halloween things back from, like, pre-Roman times is that they would have a giant wheel like the sun that would spin around and it would create sparks from hitting a rock beneath it. And throughout the day, they'd let their fires in their house die out. And then at the end of the day, everyone would go to the communal wheel hearth and they'd let it fly create a big bonfire, and they'd use the fire from that bonfire to go light back up their own homes fires, and it's
oh, wow.
like symbol of community and traditions.
This is my big wheel.
Yeah, but that sounds really cool, and I wish we could like see what it looked like, if someone could out there recreate what that is, because that sounds
well, you know,
really
someone who did want
to wheel fire.
You know, someone who did want to recreate that. Your villain from Halloween 3. He wanted to get to the real roots.
He mentions the bonfires. He specifically says we used to have big bonfires.
Man, I missed my big wheel.
He also says we used to sacrifice children. Not sure about that part.
I think it's
a little up in the air whether or not they used human sacrifice, but they did definitely sacrifice like goats and stuff.
Why everything related to Halloween has to make something with sacrifice?
They did do sacrifices, but it wasn't probably like, wasn't human sacrifice. I looked that into that and I think the consensus
it's probably
is
for
they
like
might have, but they probably didn't.
Like a good harvest thing too. It's probably not to ward off any like evil demons or spirits. It's probably like, hey,
well, let's... it was that too. There was a genuine interest in keeping away like the evil deities that they were afraid of.
And that's where jack-o'-lanterns come from.
Jack-o'-lanterns actually come from, I'm glad you mentioned it. They come from an old that's more in the Catholic times, because there was an old story about this guy named Jack, and he was a menace. This guy was trolling the devil. The devil was always messing with him, and he could never get Jack. And then Jack actually, he trapped the devil, and I think to like a tree or something. And he said, hey, I'll let you go if you promise me I won't go to hell. And the devil's like, fine, whatever, you got me. And then Jack dies. But then because he was so much of a little jerk, the heaven says, we're not letting you in. You're a jerk. And so he can't go to heaven, and he can't go to hell. So he's stuck on earth. And the only way he can guide his way around at night is by lighting up gourds.
Oh.
And that's why we have jack-o'-lanterns.
It's pretty interesting.
I always thought they were to ward off spirits.
Me too. I thought that came from that.
I think over time it merged with that. It merged with the other older traditions of Halloween. Because that's more... This is, again, after the Catholic Church loves to do this thing where they take pagan holidays and they make them Christian. After a while, Samhain became All Hallows Eve. But they kind of merged the old traditions with the new ones. And so the jack-o'-lantern thing is kind of a crossroads of that, where you kind of merge with like the old pagan traditions and then this Catholic story of Jack messing with the devil and stuff like that.
That's pretty interesting.
Okay, hold up. What is a jack-o'-lantern?
It's when you carve a face into a pumpkin and you light a candle inside
it. You never done pumpkin carving?
No, never.
I guess they wouldn't have pumpkins that far south below the equator.
I mean, like doing everything with pumpkin stuff is literally like such an American thing. So... And I didn't know, like, drawing faces you call jack-o'-lantern. That sounds a weird concept.
Well,
it's fun, though.
We're going to have to go to break and carve a jack-o'-lantern in the next 3 minutes or so. But
I always
since...
have a pumpkin on me. I have a full gourd in my backpack.
Yeah. since we're doing Ireland, I wanted to put on beloved Irish singer-songwriter Hozier. So this is De Selby, Part 2 by Hozier. Hope you enjoy.
What's you giving? What's you living? Let all let go. I don't need to.
listening to Hawk Jet Set on Hawk Radio. Every kid wants. Oh. You're listening to you're listening to Jet Set on Hawk Radio, the official radio of Hillsborough Community College, live from HCC Ybor. And we are back and we are talking about Ireland, and it is time to talk about one of my favorite Irish films, and I have it even pulled up just so I can really stare emphasize my stare at it and get into
it's
the
like 20 wolves looking at
it's
so I'm looking at the computer.
It's so we're going to be talking about not just this film, but also the inspiration behind it in Irish mythology. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Werewolves of Ossory before.
I think I have, yeah.
If you've heard, if you like werewolves, you've probably heard of it. It's
heard of that.
Some of the earliest known iterations of werewolves. The Werewolves of Ossory is basically... it would take place in the 12th century before the invasion of the Normans. The kings of Ossory claimed to be descended from Lánaigh Féilead, who claimed to be the first warrior to take shape of a wolf. This is all fictional, of course. But it's even cited in a 13th century poem, and this is in Latin, so forgive me, but De Omnibus qui se vertunt in lupos, or men who change themselves into wolves. And I did look up how that was pronounced, but I don't speak Latin.
Not many people do anymore.
But these werewolves, essentially, the way that they worked was that they were able to, when they sleep, they would step out of their bodies and they would leave their human body behind and take the shape of a wolf. And anything that happened to them in their wolf form would kind of translate back onto their human body. So like scars or injuries. And if they died as a wolf, they died as a whole being. But that was the main inspiration for this movie called Wolfwalkers. And this came out in 2020. And I think it had a total international release by 2021. It was an Apple original film. So if you have Apple TV, you might have seen it. I don't, but I bought it anyways. And this is by Irish studio Cartoon Saloon. And I don't know how mainstream that is for the average person who's not watching cartoons all the time. But they were an Irish studio founded in the late 90s by Tom Moore, who has directed, I think, every or most of their... He's directed each of their Irish trilogy series. And they've done films on this one, which is The Werewolves of Ossory. They did another film called The Secret of Kells, which was a book, which was a movie about the Book of Iona, which is another Irish myth, as well as featuring a character that is a fairy, which is probably the most famous of the Irish myths. You didn't know, fairies do come from Ireland, but they have kind of a different...
They're much more evil in Irish.
Yeah. They're
like mischievous.
They're not like little tiny people with wings and stuff. They take different forms. And that's what I do like about that movie is they do show that. And then the second film that they did, this Song of the Sea, featured Selkies, which are some of my favorite, which if you don't know, is a Irish myth about women who can put on seal skin and take the form of a seal. Kind of like a mermaid.
A seal.
It's very interesting. But a little bit more about the movie. It was directed by Tom Moore, one of the founders, and Ross Stewart. The film takes place, here we go, we're going back to history. It takes place in 17th century Ireland, so I think it's at about 1645, which would have been...
Irish Revolution.
Yeah, this would have been...
War, excuse me.
Britain coming over and taking their land. This is where... The film takes place. It takes place in Kilkenny, Kilkenny, Ireland, as they're being colonized by Great Britain. And the main character of the movie, the one you can see on the monitor, the one with the blonde hair, her name is Robin Goodfellow. She's from Great Britain, and so is her father. And her father is a hunter who's serving the great Lord Protector, who, as you might be able to tell, is the villain of the film. And... Her father is tasked with eradicating all the wolves of Ireland. They have one pack left in Ireland, and that's his job to hunt and catch them and eradicate them. Another fun fact, if you didn't know, wolves are completely extinct in Ireland now. Which I think is, it is sad. And I feel like this movie is a good highlight of that. Because, I mean, you know, wolves are just animals. I feel like in media they're kind of presented as this very evil force. I like this movie. It kind of humanizes them. So the main girl, Robin, she meets another young girl named Maeve Óg MacTíre, and that is probably the most Irish name you can possibly get, and her perception of wolves changes as a whole because Maeve claims to be a wolf walker, which is this kind of fictional representation of the fictional myth, the werewolves of Ossory. And it's an amazing film. Don't remember if it won anything, but it was definitely nominated for an Emmy. And yeah, I want to thank the Cartoon Saloon website for all of the information on this. And if you love like hand-drawn 2D animation, this film is like perfect. It's very reminiscent of like early Disney films, like The Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's kind of what it reminds me of, the animation style. And one quick fun fact about the film, because I am a total animation nerd. The film was animated in 2D. It utilized 3D in a style known as 2.5D, which is when environments and scenes are animated in a 3D tool and then traced over with hand-drawn art. So
that sounds long and tedious.
It is. It's very long and tedious, but it gives it a very depth feel to it, which is super interesting to me. So you can get this film on Apple TV. It's still available if you like music by Aurora. She has a song that's featured in it. It's a really great film, and the voice acting superb. So
heck yeah,
there you go. Now you know about, and the Irish trilogy is also worth, I was actually going to do this segment on their Irish trilogy series, which is pretty incredible, but I didn't want to make it too long, and Wolfwalkers is my favorite of the trilogy, so I wanted to mention it specifically. But if you do want to know more about the Book of Iona or Selkies, they do have two other films that are worth checking out, and you can also buy them as a whole through the G-Kids website. So that's my little plug and go. Hi, Nerissa. Our professor just walked in. Shout out to our professor, Nerissa. She's very kind.
And our fans.
And she's our biggest fan. Yes, heck this yeah. is true.
That's so true.
So now we're going to go to Camila's song. Camila, do you want to introduce it?
Okay, so it's Halloween week, so I couldn't avoid putting this song. If you are a Disney person, you know the song. I bet you know the song. It's Fearless by Olivia Holt from the movie Girl vs. Monster.
Oh, that's what it's from. I was going to say it did sound sort of familiar. All right, here we go.
I have no idea what it is.
I'm stuck in your head. I'm back from the dead. Got you running scared. I'm fearless. I'm calling you out. I'm taking you down. Don't you come around. I'm fearless. I'm fearless. Back.
All right, we're back on Jet Set. And we're still talking about, we're still in Ireland.
We are still here. Our flight's leaving soon, but we still got a little bit more time before our plane takes off. We have to go back to the States.
We do. We might just have time to talk about Camilo's segment. Camilo, what is your segment about today?
So I don't want to cut out of context about depressive history and haunted things. But so I'm here to talk about like the sunny side of Ireland, if I can say like that, because it rains a lot there. So, as Megan said, it is a beautiful country. According, I got this from an article of National Geographic. The whole Isle of Ireland is also, it's also called or known as the Emerald Isle because of its many green landscapes, and they're really magical if you look, if you take a look at them. So. If you go to Ireland and you want to make something touristic, like if you're more into something like hiking, trekking, something like more about natural stuff, there's this thing called the Wild Atlantic Way. That is basically like a highway that goes around all the western part of Ireland, like from the northern part to the southern part. I think that is like from the Inishowen Peninsula, starting in Derry, there is the city, goes to Galway, and it finishes in Kinsale, the picturesque town of Kinsale in the south. So what can you see there? Cliffs, mountains, the ocean.
Grass.
Puffins. You can see puffins.
And along all the hallway, there could be like castle ruins. I think the most popular, for example, would be like Clifden. There's a Clifden Castle. Yeah, because it has like Neolithic tombs, standing stones, and it mostly has like Iron Age forts. So, if you know about the context of it, maybe you understand. But I don't know how does an Iron Age fort looks like. But
I imagine it looks pretty similar to. I know it's completely different, but I have been to St. Augustine, and I feel like forts are pretty similar in nature.
They're meant to probably could
fend off.
How old is the fort we're talking about?
I mean, Iron Age. I don't know, like how old.
Probably 1,000 to 2,000.
Yeah, because they look very different from St. Augustine if it's that old.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe like 1,200 years.
Yeah. It'll probably look more like a castle.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is St. Augustine is more triangle.
That's.
that is true.
No, but like also St. Augustine is like more Hispanic, Iberian, and I think that most of Ireland is more like Celtic. Or good. Yeah.
It is Celtic. Yeah. It's where they come from.
No, but I mean,
you definitely can see some of like the Celtic designs, like the very intricate woven. I forget what it's called, but I know the kind of woven symbol that a lot of ancient Celtic things, especially like books, they adorned this one symbol. But I'm completely blanking on the name.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mentioned in the Book of Iona, too.
Oh yeah.
To tie it back to another myth.
So, if you want to take a look some more about the history of Ireland in Dublin, you can take a look to the Kills Mainham Gaol Museum, which was a prison, but now it's a museum about the Irish independent movement.
Oh, cool.
So showing about all of Irish independent icons and most of the things that went to the revolution and the wars and all of that. And it's in a prison that was actually, it must be like scary to have a museum in a prison, or I don't know how old it looked like, but I think that's a good environment for it. And as a matter of fact, if you're over 21, of course you can drink alcohol. And Ireland, specifically Dublin, is like most of the epicenters of whiskey.
I was going to say, I think Ireland's drinking age is like
16, I guess.
Yeah, like 16.
More than it is here.
So I was looking to TripAdvisor to what to do to Ireland, and actually most of the things include alcohol or something about alcohol history, literally.
If you like Guinness, if you like ale, if you like beer,
yeah,
you definitely can find it.
Because you have a lot of things. You have the Irish Whiskey Museum, the Jameson Distillery, Bow Street, the Gisnes Storehouse. And it is an interactive brewery. Just imagine you just pay to have different beers and drinks, like a lot. I mean, I'm not like a alcohol fan.
I'm not an alcohol fan,
but if you are older, maybe you can take a look.
Well, beer is also, I feel like, a very different like taste than other drinks.
I don't like beer.
I mean, if you go to like southern countries below us, you'll get like some pretty fancy drinks like margaritas or mojitos. But if you go to Ireland,
of course. I mean, you cannot compare wine to vodka.
Vodka's
better. And this is whiskey. Space. And I think I tried whiskey once, but it doesn't. I don't know. It didn't like the taste.
I don't like whiskey. I've tried it before.
It's not good. Alcohol has ever been good to me, but it's like not as awful as some other ones are.
I mean, Ireland is home to some very, very old breweries too. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you like specifically beer, if you like wine and stuff, I think then like France is the place to go.
Like wine, stop listening.
Yeah. If you like,
I hate wine, guys.
If you like the kind of bitter, really
strong
drinks, then Ireland's the place for you. It really is. Mm-hmm. And I do like that you mentioned the cliffs, because that is some place I do want to go eventually. And I didn't realize until I actually was like doing research, proper formal research on Ireland, how small Ireland really is.
Tiny.
It's like slightly bigger than Florida.
I thought it was smaller than that. Wow.
Ireland. Yeah, I know. And I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, I could drive from coast to coast and it would be like driving from here to like Tallahassee.
A lot of Europe is like that in general.
It is.
I think as Americans, our sense of distance is so warped.
I think even Europeans, I mean, like, I feel like Americans and Europeans both don't grasp how large the U.S. really is. The whole state of Texas is enormous. Mm-hmm. Alaska is on a whole other level, but it's not close to us, so we don't even see that.
We don't think about Alaska. We never think about Alaska.
That's like Canada.
I mean, the highway that I told you that it goes from to the all the western side of Ireland is just 2,600 kilometers long.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so
small. And you go from the north part to the southern part, and yes.
I mean, I know people who will just drive from like here to Orlando for work.
Not for work. Oh God.
But you drive here from St. Pete to here every morning. That's like an hour.
Yeah.
It's not the biggest difference.
European mind.
Yeah. It's more traffic, I guess, and you wouldn't find, I don't think, too much in Ireland, but it's not
too much traffic now because it's mostly like rural. So, and there are like some agencies that you can make like that trip in basically one day if you make all the stops, you know, the towns. So
I wanna take a train in Ireland.
I was expecting it to be longer, but no, as you said, it's a small island, so yeah, you can make the trip in just one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
And I think the funniest part about that is Europeans love to complain about driving because, I mean, they're not used to driving like us Americans are. We have to drive. There's kind of no other option.
About though, I will get on a European's butt for many things, but they are completely correct.
I agree.
Public transportation.
I hate the kind of car-based infrastructure we have in the U.S., but
I hate it.
I find it absolutely hilarious. Just I think from a very American perspective of how it's like, how can you drive for 1 hour? Like people who live on the edge of like.
I wish that was inconceivable to me.
Yeah. I'll see French people complain about people driving to.
You see French people complain? No way.
Yeah, wow. I see them talk about all the time, like, how can you drive from one country to another? I'm like, we're talking about vacation. We were going to drive from here to North Carolina. Like, that's not a long trip. But I agree. I think it'd be more fun to take a train, though, especially if you're in.
Easier.
If you're in Europe.
I did. It was an amazing experience.
I got to take one in France, and that was beautiful because you see all these just enormous, beautiful fields and vineyards and stuff you pass by.
Instead of a highway.
Instead of six-lane highways on one side.
I-275
I-4.
Gorgeous. Curb your tongue.
Sure.
You know, I-4, I think, is ranked the most dangerous in all of America.
Florida number one.
Yes. And I that was no surprise to me at all. I mean, just trying to take it to get downtown, like, that's the amount of like space they actually give you, I think, because of the construction is crazy.
Well,
too much. So that, Ireland, guys.
Was that it?
What was it for Ireland?
I guess we still have a few minutes before our plane takes off. We could talk about our hurricane experiences. We have finished our conversation on Ireland at this point, just to confirm. So definitely go visit that fun little rock if you ever want to go.
I would love to.
How did you guys fare in the storm while we got these last few minutes to kind of chit-chat?
I did pretty well. I was pleasantly surprised. I live up in Temple Terrace, so it's not in a flood zone. It's not crazy like Tampa crazy, but we had a tree fall into our neighbor's yard. But I want to give a shout out to Florida for Change, because they're an amazing community-based organization who's helping us out. And they're going to help us remove some of the larger branches that are not only in our yard but in our neighbor's yards too, that are kind of dangerous, hanging low. And they're doing it entirely for free, so thanks to them. And I'm definitely going to make a donation for that, because that was incredibly helpful. We got quoted like 1,500 just to get those removed. I was like, no.
That's not a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I had a very interesting storm.
I know you did.
So I crashed my car evacuating St. Petersburg. And when I was waiting for my tow truck, this is the day before the storm hit, I waited 6 hours for a AAA tow truck, and the guy finally shows up, and then he asked me, hey, do you mind if I go to Hardee's right now, drive-through, a fast food place? And I was like, whatever, man, sure. He'd been working since 5 a.m., so I was like, yeah, that's fine. And then when we're waiting in the drive-through, there's a homeless guy there, and he's asking him to buy a small fry, and the driver says yes, and I was like, oh, that's really nice of you. Then they start talking, the tow truck driver and the homeless guy in the window at the drive-through, the Hardee's, waiting for his food, and they start talking about religion and Christianity, and they start getting heated and arguing over it. And at one point, I think it's going to break out into a fight. At one point, the guy says, and I quote, how are you going to talk about God when you got alcohol on your breath? And I was like, all right, guys, cool it. I'm sitting having the worst day of my life just hearing these two grown men argue about religion in the drive-thru of a Hardee's. And then we finally pull away after he gets his food and his small fry. And I had no idea what else to say. I was like, oh, you handled that well. And then the tow truck driver, I swear to God, he goes like, yeah, well, you know, I have experience handling situations. You know, I've killed someone before. And I was like, what?
That's definitely what you want to hear from a tow truck driver.
You did what? This complete stranger just out of nowhere tells me that. I swear to God. And then later he confirms he's an ex-cop. And he killed someone while he was, on the job. And I was like, should have led with that.
Yeah.
You should have led with, I was a cop. Great, don't just say, yeah, I've killed someone before. Which is like the worst thing you could have ever said to me in that moment. But I was so tired and done with that. I wasn't even like afraid. I was like, whatever, man. I'm in
normal
the car
things.
With a serial killer.
So very, very, yeah.
AAA knows where I am. They'll find my body.
Well, how about you, Annie? How did you do in the storm?
I did pretty well. I live in a flood zone, so I did have to evacuate, but my apartment didn't flood at all. But me and my boyfriend went up to my grandma's house, and we only lost power overnight, so we did pretty good.
That's good.
Losing power reminded me how it is impossible to live in this state without AC.
Oh, no,
it is a horrible place to live.
That's like the nice thing was, I remember the morning after the storm, I didn't have power, but I went outside, and I just stood, like, it was, like, so surreal, because I was seeing cop cars go by, I was seeing ambulances, I was seeing Tico trucks. But it was just, like, so peaceful and serene after the storm, and it was just wind, and it was, like, so cool out, just that small little bit between night and day, and then it got hot again.
That sucked. And, all
and then it sucked. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't remember which storm it was. I think it was Hurricane Ian. I just remember the whole day or two after Ian, it was so windy and so cool out, and then it went back to just being hot. Mm. And now I'm waiting for it to come back. I'm waiting for the actual cold that we're supposed to have in October. I'm waiting for that to come back.
I love cold.
I love the cold.
Well,
I hate the cold. I moved away from Wyoming to get away from the cold.
I have
one short little anecdote, and that was my Swifty Night experience.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Tell us all about it.
The audience can't see me, but I am definitely not a Taylor Swift fan, if you did see me. Which is fine. I'm not, I have nothing against
her.
She's
wearing a dog collar.
But,
that's what I said.
but I went to stay with my friend once I got my tow truck in Pensacola, and they saw me and they're like, "Oh, you know, you're kind of edgy. I'm gonna take this local edgy, like, kind of hardcore, not hardcore, but like alt bar,
punk bar,
yeah, kind of." And the one night that I'm there, they're having a Taylor Swift night, which was just like a karmic punch to the face. It was also really funny, and we're like, "We're not gonna wimp out. We're gonna go in." And I can only just compare it to the opening scene to 2001 A Space Odyssey when all the monkeys are going crazy over the giant obelisk in the sand. That's what it was like in there, seeing everyone lose mind over Taylor Swift. At one point, this 40-year-old woman starts, like, dancing all over me and my friend, and she's screaming, like, you know, people are drunk. They start talking way too loud. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "I know you know all the lyrics to this song. You just don't want to admit it."
And you knew it?
She starts talking to us about, like, music and stuff. And it was so awkward but so funny.
And that sounds like the perfect experience. Florida hurricane experience.
Yeah. And I had lost my car, and I'm sitting there at 59. And I'm like, how did I get in this situation? Yeah, I think that's a nice note to end things on.
This might be a song that explains the situation. I don't know how.
I feel like we could end it with a Taylor Swift song, but I don't have one pulled up. We don't have time. But we do want to thank you again for listening to Jet Set on Hawk Radio. There it is. We want to thank you again for listening to Jet Set on Hawk Radio, and we hope to see you next week. Do you know what country we're going to do?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Stay tuned.
No, not yet.
But it will be a surprise for next week then.
These keys, homeboy, don't move my car, man. I'm right in the front, you dig? Don't move my man. Ho, baby, what's your name?
Go, girl, it's your birthday. Over wide. I know you're Thursday. Say hi. And we don't buy no drinks at the bar. Pop champagne, cause we got that dough. Let me hear you say hi. You want me to say hi? Full of money, club don't jump till I walk inside the doorway. Bottles of that rosé, smiling like Dolce and Gabbana. Shout out you the baddest, and to meet you is an honor. La mama, I got a table waiting. What you think about a convo? And if you like it, baby, we can take it to the condo. And if you like the condo, we can move the party to the bedroom. I'ma beat your body like a Congo. Since we in the club for now, might as well get another round. I know this ain't nothing in your cup. So get here, baby, let me fill it up. Go, girl, it's your birthday. Over wide, I know you're thirsty. Say hi. And we don't buy no drinks at the bar. Pop champagne, cause we got that dough. Let me hear you say ah. You want me say ah. Try to dance like a video vixen.
fixin'. Said her man be on that pimpin'. Well, I retire from the bull like Pippin. Tryna get you home or would you be Mart Simpson? Whip out front, we can leave like pronto. Maple leaf dash got you feeling like Toronto. Make your body rise like you're puffin' on a joint, though. Girl, that's only if you want dough.
Ready?
But since we in the club for now, might as well get another round. I know this ain't nothing in your cup, so get here, baby, let me fill it up. Go, girl, it's your birthday. Say I. And we don't buy no drinks at the bar. Hey, pop champagne, hey, cause we got that dough. Let me hear you say
it's no so. You want me say might be too drunk to know so.
Say I just like I'm your doctor. All I prescribe is cranberry and vodka. Then I'm trying to kick it, play a little soccer, and bust a couple off. Blocker. The Henny in your system. You start drunk texting and suddenly you miss him or even want to diss him. Then you call your girl like, what the you gave me? She like, don't blame me. You better do like Jamie. And blame it on the liquor. He works every time. Patron, you my know it's somebody's birthday. Well, where you? And I know you're thirsty, but don't know where your glass at.
Go, girl,
say it's your
birthday.
Over wide, I know you're thirsty.
Say I.
Say I.
Say I.
Say I. And we don't buy no drinks at the bar. We pop champagne, cause we got that dough. Let me hear you say I.
Say I.
You want me say I.
Say I.
Go, girl,
it's your birthday.
Over wide,
yeah, that's how you do it, girl.
Thursday.
Just tilt your head back, right?
You pop champagne cause we got
no
that
hands,
dough
baby.
Let me hear you say if you want me say
it just makes it easier.
Popping bottles in the ice like a blizzard. When we drink we do it right. Getting slizzard, sipping scissor in my ride. In my ride like 3-6. Now I'm feeling so fly like a G6.
Ladies love my style. At my table getting wild. Get them bottles popping. We get that dripping, that drop out. Now give me two more bottles, cause you know it don't stop.
Hell yeah. Drink it up, drink it up. Sober girls around me, they be acting like they drunk. They be acting like they drunk. Acting like they drunk. With sober girls around me, they.
Good morning. And welcome to your favorite variety news show, giving you the latest and, in our expert opinions, the greatest news for all of your eardrums. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dustin, with, of course, Drama Digest, No Diddy, with me today.
I'm Vince Vibes with The Daily Rap.
Steven with Football Focus.
And Anthony with Showbiz Spotlight.
And how are y'all doing this week?
You know, we're hanging in here in the host chair. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
I'm doing pretty awesome. All right.
It's spooky week.
It is spooky week. Halloween.
Spooky week.
Halloween is
I thought
Thursday.
Last week was the spooky one.
Oh, yeah.